Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Traditionally, this fourth Sunday of Easter is known as Good Shepherd Sunday. And it's kind of an odd placement for this text. For the last 3 weeks, we've been hearing about the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, how he comes to them in the upper room, about doubting Thomas, about how he appears to them and asks for broiled fish when they think he's a ghost. Over and over again, we get these post-resurrection experiences of the early disciples as they begin to try and understand what it means that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Suddenly, the lectionary throws at us this wonderful text from the 10th chapter of John, really early in the gospel. "I am the good shepherd," Jesus says. "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The earliest images that we find from the earliest church of Jesus are not crucifixes or crosses. The earliest images of Christ in art within the church are of Jesus in the image of a shepherd. Sometimes with the lamb laid over his shoulders, sometimes in very primitive kinds of art, the shepherd looking for the sheep. I think one of the reasons that the people who put together the lectionary, which generally is a mystery to me to begin with, but it kind of makes sense that this Good Shepherd Sunday falls in this fourth Sunday. Up until now, we've journeyed with those disciples through this incredible journey where their rabbi, who they loved and who they devoted themselves to, began his ministry with miracles, with turning water into wine at Cana, and then with healing of lepers and people who were ill, and the woman with the issue of blood, healing people left and right and going town to town and sharing this news, this good news about what God was doing in the world. And suddenly, after that triumphal entry into Jerusalem, everything changes. This Jesus, this rabbi, this friend, this person who had shown them such charisma and power and love and such incredible knowledge and insight into the mind of God, found himself literally on the wrong end of a stick, dying the death not only of a criminal, but of a traitor. A death on a cross. And then the resurrection happens, and the confusion becomes even worse. Is he real? Is this the promise fulfilled? Is this really what the Messiah is supposed to look like? Was that a ghost? I don't believe it. I have to believe it. Look, the tomb is empty. And confusion begins to reign. Where once there was joy and certainty, now there is confusion and anxiety. Where once they celebrated Jesus' life, now they live in his death. Once he was there, and now he's gone. So that on this fourth Sunday of Easter, John brings us back full circle to the promise of Jesus toward the beginning of his ministry, where he says to those who are around him, "I am the good shepherd. And the shepherd, a good shepherd, lays down his life for his sheep." The light bulb goes off for the disciples and for us. All of this encounter with Jesus, all that we've encountered in his life and his death, and this raising on the cross becomes clear as we understand that in that image of the shepherd, Jesus fulfills his promise. I will be with you always. I'm not like the hired hand, Jesus says. You ever had hired hands? Anybody here ever, like, been in charge of people? Yeah. It's fun, isn't it? Yay! One of the things I learned early in working with people and serving as a supervisor for people was that there are some people who come to work to get a paycheck. And that's okay. There's nothing dishonorable about that. They show up when they're supposed to show up. They do the work that you ask them to do. Nothing more. Hopefully nothing less. But that's it. And if something starts to go awry, if something starts to go wrong, they are not stepping up to the plate. One of my favorite phrases is when my employees tell me, "I'm sorry, that's above my pay grade." Which usually results in me saying, "You don't have one anymore." But then there are the people who are passionate. There are people who are not just hired hands. They are shepherd-like people who understand that their vocation and their occupation have come together in some magical way. And you know those people too. I've had them, and you know, you try to hang on to them, right? And then people like Mary steal them away from you, right? The really good people who love what they do. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across, I think, to the disciples. Look, I'm not like the hired hands who came before. Isaiah and Ezekiel talked about that a lot. They said, look, those prophets, those religious people who came before, they were just hired hands. They were in it. You remember the whole thing about the boys taking the meat out of the boiling pot? That's how the Levites got into trouble, right? You know, they're just in it because that's what they're supposed to do. I'm not like those, Jesus says. I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. That statement gets even more powerful as you begin to explore sheepness. As I played with the kids a little while ago, I mean, the fact of the matter is that most of us have had almost no experience with sheep. Any sheep people here? What are sheep like, Jim?
Well, Johnny was once asked by his teacher in arithmetic, if you have four sheep and one gets out, how many do you have? And he said, none. And she said, Johnny, finally, after quizzing it over and over again, she said, Johnny, you don't understand arithmetic. And he said, ma'am, you don't understand sheep.
True. The thing about sheep is that sheep, if you've ever been around sheep, sheep are dumber than a rock for the most part. And as one of the kids said, they don't smell terribly good unless you're a shepherd, because then it's sort of like if you're in oil, you know, it stinks. Or if you're in cattle, I remember when my father-in-law, he served a parish out in rural Nebraska near a feedlot. And when the wind turned the wrong direction, oh Lord, my mother-in-law would run out and take the laundry off of the line, because you would smell like a cow for a long time. And my father-in-law said, what is that smell? And he says, that, my friend, is the smell of money. Well, sheep are like that. They don't smell good, and frankly, they don't behave. Your anecdote is perfect. You know, if you have four sheep and one gets away, how many do you have? None. These are the ones that Jesus lays his life down for you. You are the sheep. Yeah, thank you. Bah. Now, the thing about Christians, I'm sorry if this is a little shocking for all of you, but this is what happens when I take 3 days off. I get very energetic. Here's the thing about being in the church as Christian people. We have a tendency to think over much of ourselves. We think we are all that. And we really, I mean, not universally, but for the most part, Christians sort of thinking of themselves as really nice and wonderful and charitable people. I've been in the church for 25 years, and I got to tell you, you're sheep. Just like everyone else, people in the church can be petty and gossipy and do unkind things to one another. I'll never forget when I asked Chris Bushman to serve on the church council, and his wife said no. No. And he said, well, why not? And she says, because I want you to stay in the church. Because her father and her brother and her sister had all served on church councils, and when they were done with their term, never went to church again. Or changed churches. I mean, think about, it was sort of funny, in the first parish I said, or in the first service I said, you know, sometimes within the church we're unkind to one another and we're unkind to others. Who could forget that the fact when the Holocaust happened, the Lutheran church stayed silent? When injustice happened with immigration early on from El Salvador, we stayed out of it. Like so many Christians, we just want to get along and come quietly to church and not get over-involved or expose ourselves to too much risk. And on occasion, we're downright mean to each other. So maybe the first part of accepting this Jesus, this shepherd, is to realize that for all of our wondrous and wonderful qualities, we are also just sheep. With all that comes with that, we're broken and we hurt and we stand in need of one another and of God, and we stand convicted of our own apathy and self-interest. What I think is remarkable about this text is that this is the very group. These are the very people who God lays God's life down for. That's the power of this text in this fourth Sunday of Easter, is that God has chosen to love us in our brokenness and imperfection. And that God takes this crozier of the cross and herds us out into the world and says, look, you need to tell people about my love and my sacrifice and my peace that I breathe on you. This isn't a gospel for people who are perfect or moral or successful or people who are seeking to find in God a whole new kind of prosperity. This shepherd lays down his life for sheep in their goodness and in their anxiety, in their joy and in their sadness, in their splendor and laughter and tremendous generosity and good-heartedness, and in their selfishness and peevishness and unpleasantness. That's the power of the gospel. In 1 John, the author says, look, when we've played out our being sheep for God, we play it out by living out that same love that God first gave us. That's what it means to be one of God's sheep. It's to be reined in by the crozier of the cross in love and to be sent out again and again into the world to share that love with a world that aches for it. So we too, like the disciples, stand in little groups and we wonder what it is that God is up to, and we wonder, who is this one that comes before us, this Jesus? Is he a ghost? Is he real? Is he not real? Is he with us? Has he gone on? Has he left us? Or is he the good shepherd who in each and every moment lays down his life, pointing always to the God who is the good shepherd? And so God lays down God's life for you. And we revel and we love and we live as God's sheep. So in the words of King Ishii, bah. Amen.